Palm Sunday isn't generally named as a miracle story, but I can't help but think that this is a mistake. There aren't big, flashy miracles taking place here. No one is walking out from the tomb like Lazarus did last week. There is no water being turned to wine. Thousands aren't being fed with a few loaves. The miracle I see here is more subtle. The people who line the dusty road as Jesus makes his way into Jerusalem for the last time, they understand deep in their bones what it means to live under the might of an empire. Their land is occupied. The Roman Empire and its armies have taken over, and through military force and unbearable extortion and deeply controlling laws, Rome squeezes the life out of these people. This is the status quo, and it is awful. And the only way to make your own life a little easier is to join Rome in oppressing your neighbors. Their options seem sorely limited. Under the watchful, hateful gaze of the emperor, it is legitimately dangerous to speak out or take a stand. This, then, is the miracle I see. For a gathering like this one to happen, all these people lining the streets, spreading their garments on the ground, waving their branches, singing hosannas, for this to happen one by one, they had to spread the word. Person by person, they gave witness to what was happening, to who was coming. Maybe it happened quietly, whispering in hushed tones in the market, tipping one another off in their neighborhoods. Again and again, though, people summoned the courage to give witness, telling others that this teacher, this other king, this one who saves, is coming. It is miraculous because they are risking their necks to do so. This is not the parade they are supposed to be attending. Honoring Jesus as king is an affront to the empire, and even more so on this day. These people are all supposed to be on the other side of the city, paying their fearful respect to Pontius Pilate. There, at the same time, Pilate is riding in on a war horse in a great display of military power and pomp. He's coming on behalf of the emperor, just in time for Passover, to remind people who is in charge. But the people line the streets to welcome Jesus in. They've gathered the courage to tell others that he's coming, risky as it is. This witness is beautiful and necessary. It's the only way any of this can happen for them or eventually for us. That's the first miracle, that people are willing to speak this truth, even quietly. But there's another that follows right on its heels. Here is a people who are hurting and scared and struggling to make it from one day to the next. Many are sick. Many are hungry. None of them are free. And all the same, from within that fear and pain, these people are choosing to hope. Hope is a risky thing. It is deeply vulnerable to open up your heart to imagine how things might get better, knowing that the crash down to disappointment could then come from an even greater height. Still, they listen to one another. Still, they come, choosing to entertain the possibility that things could be another way. Choosing to place their trust in the possibility of possibility. This is maybe one of the most wonderful definitions of the resurrection that I have come across, penned by the author Mary Gordon, that resurrection is trusting in the possibility of possibility. This is some of what these crowds, and by extension, all of us, are up to on Palm Sunday. It's still early in the story. Some of them have an inkling of what is to come. After all, Jesus has told his students this repeatedly. And all of them can guess that his bold action, his speaking truth to power, is going to get him killed. They've seen the empire do this countless times already. They know that what lies ahead is the cross. And even so, they come. Even so, they come looking and hoping and reaching, believing that somehow there can be help here and healing and saving grace. They start to live this hope by reaching for what they already have, the coats off their own backs. These ordinary people, mothers and cousins and fishermen and bakers and children, they leave the day's work behind and come to the edge of the city. They spread their garments on the dusty road to welcome Jesus in, subversive as this action is. Initially, the miracle was spreading the word in whispers. Then the miracle was entertaining this nascent hope in their aching hearts. But now a third miracle arrives. They live out this hope in public, under the open sky and radiant sun for all to see. They spread their garments on the road to make way for the possibility of another reality breaking in, one of liberation, of healing, of enough for all. They spread their garments to hold space for hope, audacious as it is, given the backdrop of their world. Their action is a sign of respect, of reverence. By doing so, they are hailing Jesus as their king, absurd as he looks, riding in on a donkey and her foal. And more than that, it is a way of demonstrating with their bodies that they are all in, that they are putting their trust not in Rome and not in the status quo, but in Jesus. Looking through the eyes of the empire, he is anything but royalty. And somehow, miraculously, they are moved to give this witness. They hold space in their hearts for hope, and together they begin to take action. These days, fear and apathy and maybe even despair can seem a lot easier to come by than hope. There is so much that is broken and breaking further. It can be tempting, at least for me, to wonder if what we do will really make any difference. And then last week, between our two services, I saw folks just out of the corner of my eye. I saw them carrying in big folding tables from the parish hall into the church. And then as soon as this service ended, they started setting them up right here in the sanctuary. Coffee hour was in full swing, and yet a slew of people got to work, tackling the huge pile of sheets and blankets, We'd been gathering throughout Lent for neighbors making their way into more stable housing. Many hands worked together, turning into sort of a methodical blur. Sheets were opened, pulled flat and taut, and then measuring tapes were stretched, dimensions noted. Pairs of people worked together and reached to fold the sheets back up and label them and set them aside and then move on to the next. They did this again and again, moving through the mountain of bedding. In that moment, there was enough going on that I didn't think much of it. This kind of work is common around here. It wasn't until the quiet of Monday morning that what I'd seen unfolding caught up with me. Here was a group of people choosing hope. Choosing to believe that they, that all of us together, could make things a little better, at least for some people. That this one bed could be made more comfortable. That this one could be warmer. That this matters. And again, they opened the cloth wide, spreading it out to welcome in another way, to welcome in the one who heals and sets us free. Friends, where are you being called to do the same? Where is Jesus leading us to imagine new possibilities of beauty and grace and justice, even when the empire looms large, so now as it did then? How is the Spirit planting hope in your heart, inviting you to live this other way, this gospel way that pulls our bodies into both reverence and action? This life of faith is risky. This story is heartbreaking as it played out then and as innocent people continue to be crucified now. And this hope is real. This hope is present and calling us and worthy of our trust. All around us, in a present day miracle, people are giving witness to what God is doing in our midst. We get to join them in speaking this truth, in holding space for this hope, and in taking action to welcome in this most unlikely king.